Amen. Let's lift our hands and begin to touch God for that truth that we just heard through that song. Amen. He just sung about something so vital, so important. Amen. So necessary for us to understand, not intellectually, but experientially. Amen. Some of us in here tonight have truly experienced great things of God when we were weak, when we felt like we could not make it. Amen. When we felt like we just were about to fall or perhaps even faint. Amen. But somehow the Lord was able to do something. He was able to accomplish something. Amen. Because we learn to depend upon Him when we are weak. We learn to lean upon His strength and His power and His grace and His anointing. Amen. When we are inadequate. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God here. Let's just wave our hands to Him for just a few moments. Lord Jesus, we bless You. We bless You. We bless You. We thank You for Your presence, God, that is ever present in our lives. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you feeling good? All right. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. While you are standing, I want to introduce this message tonight, which the Lord shared with me. Just yesterday, of course, I didn't know that I was going to be speaking until last night. But the Lord gave me something in advance, and I'm glad that He did that. Free me from all that stressing out. You know, if you know you got to preach or teach or, you know, speak publicly, you like to have something to say. And in this business, it needs to be His voice, His word. And it needs to be deeper than your mind. It needs to be in your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And I want to declare what the Lord has spoken to me, and I've taken it from my mind and I've hid it in my heart. No one can do that but me. No one can hide the word of God but you. You're the only one. The Lord will not hide His word in your heart. You have to do that. Amen. I'm going to say some things tonight based on the revelation that I have received from the Lord over the past 36 hours, I guess you could say, 24 hours possibly. And I hope that you pay attention. In fact, this is kind of a far-fetched example, but if I were to declare unto you, well, maybe not this crowd, maybe a different crowd. If I were to declare and just tell you that I know the winning lottery numbers, I know them. If I was to tell you that, somebody in here might take note. If you believed me. So I'm going to say something tonight that's more important than winning the lottery. Not that winning the lottery is important. I don't play. That's why I don't win. But I'm simply making a point. The word of the Lord is worth remembering. It's worth taking to heart. And so tonight I want to share some things that will bless you, hopefully. It has blessed me. I don't know, the title may change. So let's just start out with this. I didn't write anything down. Let's just say the importance of hearing God's voice, word. The importance of hearing God's voice. Amen. The importance of hearing God's voice. Let's pray. Shall we pray together? Father, we love You. We thank You. We believe You're here tonight. We believe your presence is already moving among us. We believe that you have something to say in this service. Come on, let's talk to him. We haven't come in vain. We haven't come just to spin our wheels, but we've come to approach God tonight. We've come to hear your voice. We want to be open and attentive. And we want our spirits and our heart to hear and to believe what you have to say. Lord, I pray you bless your people. The revelation, the understanding that you have provided, I pray, would be proclaimed in this service, in this audience tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I've got so many notes here. Not for tonight, so don't worry. I'm talking about past messages. I just got them piled in my Bible here. It makes my Bible look much thicker. In the beginning, God used his word to create life as we know it. The Bible says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Take it back to Genesis. If you read in the very beginning, Genesis, it records that God said, everybody say, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let the waters be gathered together. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. God said, let there be lights in the firmament. God said, let the waters bring forth moving creatures. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures and cattle and beast after his kind. And everybody said, and it was so. God's word is incredibly powerful. I think it's more powerful than we can comprehend at this level. After he spoke and he began to create light and separate light from darkness and bring the waters to their place and bring forth the herbs and the trees and the grass and the animals and the fowls and the fish, on the sixth day he began his greatest creation, and that is man. That's you and I. So he created man, he created male and female, and you know the story. Adam and Eve. But man, who was flesh, who was made of the dust of the earth, could not see God, who was invisible. But God spoke, and God said to his human creation, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Somebody say, God said that. God said, be fruitful. God said, multiply. God said, replenish the earth. God said, subdue the earth. God said, have dominion over the animal kingdom and over all the trees and the herbs and so forth. He says, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree is for you, in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. So, or to you it shall be for meat. And I hate to upset all the animal activists and the tree huggers, but the fish are mine. Hello? The kangaroos, they're mine. They don't belong to the United Kingdom. Or I'm sorry, not United Kingdom. What was that show? Huh? Oh, no, I'm not talking about Australia. Was it Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom? Is that the show that used to come out? Is that it? Wild Kingdom. Animals don't belong to the zoo. They belong to all of us. They're ours. The fish, I was fishing one night, me and my nephew, and I had this lady, and if you're an animal activist, that's fine. You can believe that if you want to. But I'm going to eat fish and cow and any other thing I want to eat and pray over. But we were fishing one night somewhere around here, and this lady come up with this little pamphlet basically explaining to us how that fish have feelings and they feel pain. And I'm like, well, God should have told me that before he gave it to me. And so I caught the fish and I've eaten the fish. And I've eaten much I've eaten much more fish since then. So everybody say the Bible is right. And God's word is true. Beginning of God's relationship with man was realized through God speaking and man hearing. It was an auditory dialogue. Adam had never seen God. Eve had never seen God. Their relationship was strictly auditory. It was a vocal relationship. Now, it's possible that they may have felt God's presence. That's possible. The Bible doesn't indicate that in the book of Genesis. It doesn't say that they felt God's presence. But if you read the scripture, it lets us know that they recognized the voice of God. Because when they had sinned, you know the story, they hid. And a little while later, they heard God's voice walking in the garden. And then when he finally manned up and said, you know, we hid, we were afraid because we heard your voice. So that tells me that they knew God only by a voice, not by a vision, not by a theophany, not by some physical image. They only knew God through a voice. And of course, the voice spoke words. And there was dialogue between Adam and God. Somebody said amen. So we soon understand that the relationship between man and Creator was a little mysterious because they couldn't put an image, an icon, a physical being in place of that voice. All they had was a voice. And I know that we sometimes can recognize the voice of people we love, people that we know, people who we spend time with. I know the voice of, I was going to say many of you, but probably, I don't know, maybe half. And the reason why I know one voice from the other voice is because I've been around you long enough to know what you sound like and to know your talk. And things that you would say. So, in my opinion, I could see Adam walking around wondering what God looked like. All he heard was a voice. But it was the voice of the Lord that says, be fruitful, multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. I'm giving you dominion. It was the voice of the Lord, the one they could not see, that said to them, all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of that tree. And so they're living by a voice. They're living under the commandments of a voice of someone they could not see. And they failed God when they started living by what they saw rather than what he said. I want to say that one more time. The reason they failed God, now I know Eve blamed it on the devil, but I feel that the reason that man failed and sinned against God is because they simply started living by what they saw and not living by what he said. Proverbs chapter number 1 verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Everybody say, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I'm talking tonight about the importance of hearing the voice of God. No doubt in this service, after the message has been preached, some of you will go home and perhaps you will say something like this: wow, we had pretty good church tonight. But I feel that there may be a few of you that will go home and in your heart and in your mind, you will have this thought: God spoke to me tonight. You see, and I've said this more than once, I personally believe that when the anointed person of God, whether man or woman, gets up and by the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to declare and pronounce the living word of God, I believe that the Lord directs his word. I believe the Lord sends his word. I believe that God has a purpose in every message and every sermon that is preached across this platform. I believe that God has something to say to his people in every service. Therefore, in every service, we need to be attentive and pay attention and listen to what God has to say to the church. Somebody said the power of his voice. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, incline your ear. Listen up is what that means. Incline your ear. That means pay attention. And come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. You ever heard somebody wrong? Just wave your hand. Let me see your hand. You ever heard something and when you went to do it or repeat it, it was wrong? You know, and you've probably illustrated this. You say something to this individual and he moves to this individual and then she moves to this individual, and three or four people later, the message is all messed up. It's totally different. And I may have told him that Teresa is getting ready to have a set of twins. And by the time he tells the next person and she tells the next person, three or four people later, the message is, we have a set of twins that are, you know, have birth defects or you know, you just never know. It could be all whacked out and just, somebody help me. I'm not really... Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Let's just say three or four people later, the twins in the church are having kids. By different daddies, right? Hopefully. Okay, all right, let's just close that box and go on. Okay, I'm just making sure my little buddy's okay. I don't know if he's mad at me. All right. So, you know how important it is to hear and to hear correctly. In fact, when I tell my son or my daughter or my nephew something, I expect them to not only hear, but to do. And this is how I know that they've heard. They do exactly what I said to do. It never fails. It never fails. Wednesday's going to get here. And the recycling bins are not going to be taken out. I've only told them. Every week for 3 years. But when Wednesday gets here, sure enough, I have to tell them again on Tuesday night. I guess they didn't hear me the first time. Now, the difference between me and my daddy is my daddy made sure I heard what he had to say. Because if I didn't, he taught me to listen. And when daddy listened, I want to get it exactly like daddy said. And you see, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble because we didn't hear correctly. In fact, we miss out on a lot of blessings because we don't hear correctly. And we have what we call selective hearing. We only like to hear the good stuff, the bless me stuff. We like to hear all the good things that God is going to do. But we need to pay attention because God may be giving us the recipe for revival. And in that recipe, there may be some things in there that aren't so sweet. But if you mix them together, then you can produce something that tastes good. Somebody say, hearing is very important. He said, if you hear, your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. After the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord appears to his disciples and he makes himself known to them. They're all frightened. Their dreams are shattered. And they're fretting and they're wondering, what are we going to do? We've just spent the last 3+ years of our lives being committed to following this man, Jesus, and now he's dead. And somebody said, well, you've heard the latest, right? The women said that they saw an angel, and the angel spoke to him and to them and said that he's not here, but he's risen. And so they're having this conversation among themselves, and they're not feeling good. You know why they're not feeling good? Because they're not in the presence of Jesus. They're not seeing Jesus. And his word isn't being rehearsed in their minds, so they feel heavy. And they're not praising God, and they're not praying to God. They're just loathing. And they're so focused on the tragedy, and they're focused on the negative things that have happened. And now, what are we going to do? Jesus is no more with us. He's no longer with us. What are we going to do? But you know the story. According to the gospel, he appears unto his disciples and he makes himself known unto his disciples. In fact, I believe it was Thomas that had said, except I, you know, touch his side and feel the scars in his hand or the nail prints in his hand. He said, I'm not even going to believe. But you know the story. When he came in, the Lord knew. He said, look, he said, Thomas, touch me. See my hands, my feet, my side. It's me. I want to let you know I'm here. And then we hear Jesus make this statement. He says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, that means you have seen me with your eyes, you have believed. He said, the only reason you believe that it's really me and that I'm really resurrected is because you have seen me. They told you that I had resurrected. They told you that I wasn't in the tomb anymore. In fact, I told you before I died that I would raise this temple up on the third day. But you didn't rehearse what I said because you weren't paying attention. Obviously, you were just thinking about all the miracles. And you didn't listen to what I had to say. But he says this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. They don't see nothing, but they believe something. They don't see how they're going to overcome this situation, this giant, this difficulty, this problem. But they believe that if God be for them, who can be against them? They may not feel good. They may not understand why this way and why not that way. But if they have a word from God, that word gives them blessed assurance that though he slay me, he still can be trusted. Even when I'm afraid, I can trust the Lord. David said, the time that I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. So that tells me that all fear is not satanic. Every time we're afraid, we feel like it's the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I get afraid, it's not the devil. It ain't the devil. It's called human emotion. Human emotion. And you break out a mask and just in the middle of the night, now don't do this. My dad done this. In the middle of the night, about 12 o'clock at night, come sneaking into your house with one of them hockey masks. And see what it does to your family members, especially if you have small children. They will learn how to be afraid because it's part of humanity. Now, I know there's a spirit of fear, and I'm not dealing with that tonight. We can get rid of that pretty easily. Are you with me? I'll get to the good stuff shortly. I just want to make sure you're paying attention. Amen. If you fall asleep in church, I don't know. Maybe you'll go to heaven. I hope so. Because how are you going to be saved if you can't even hear? If you're sleeping, you're sure not hearing. It's not one of them just turn the radio on and go to sleep. Turn the preacher on and then go to sleep. No. This salvation don't work that way. Come on, just laugh a little bit. It's all right. I'm not just trying to indoctrinate you with my humor. I'm just trying to be real with you. It's a Bible study tonight. We're going to be okay. But blessed are those that have not seen, but yet they believe. Nothing tangible, nothing physical, no image, no icon, can't see, but yet believe. And then, of course, Peter writes this, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, trusting, having faith and confidence in, and you rejoice because of this with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes we lose our ability to rejoice when we lose our confidence in his word. But he said, even though you can't see him, you love him, and you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's talking about the people that love him, that serve him, who are the called according to his purpose. In fact, we read in the scripture that the just shall live by faith. You're justified by faith. The just shall live by faith, receive promises by faith, overcome giants by faith, cast out devils by faith, heal the sick by faith, operate in all the gifts of the Spirit by faith, get spiritual promotions by faith, obtain all the promises by faith. Amen. Be thrown into a den of lions and survive without a scratch. Be thrown into a fiery pit and survive without even the smell of smoke. It takes faith to live in such circumstances. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7-4, we walk. Somebody stand up real quick. Somebody who's really tired. All right, thank you for being honest. All right. All those who are not tired, you can remain sitting. Sister, I want you to step out. Okay, stop. What is she doing right now? She is standing in one place. Walk. Walk up there and touch that and then go back. There's a difference between walking and standing. Walking is motion, movement. You're going somewhere. It's progressive. And the Bible says the just shall walk by faith. That means we're always going somewhere. We're always in motion. Now, sometimes it seems like we're going around in circles, but you got to hold on to your faith and keep on walking. Amen. The just shall live by faith. And the very next verse that I read, what does it say? For we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we conduct our lives and we make progress only by faith. And when we neglect faith and we start walking by our sight, then our spiritual progress stops. So tonight, and I'm about to get into the nitty-gritty of the message. This is what the Lord has showed me, and I may speed up a little while or for a few moments here. But the Lord showed me just yesterday and reminded me that we need to start walking every day by faith and don't be hindered by what you see. Because if you live and act and behave and make decisions based on what you see and not according to faith in God's word, then you probably won't make it to your destination. I'll explain. We walk by faith and not by sight. So then, faith comes by hearing. What are we talking about tonight? Hearing God's voice. The power of hearing God's voice. We read earlier, the Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered His voice. I guarantee you, when God spoke, something happened in the heavens and something happened in the earth. Amen. And if you'll pay attention in every church service, God will say something to you that'll impact your life, that'll give you strength, that'll give you joy, and that'll give you confidence that He is with you. How do you know He's with you? Is it because you feel Him? No. We know He's with us because He said so. Because most of the time I don't feel Him. I don't see Him. All I have is His word that somebody preached and I heard it and I believed in it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, notice He says hearing. It's not just what you heard. It's you have to continue to hear. That's why I have to hear messages preached all over again. Tell me again about the new birth. Tell me again about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Tell me again how I should live, because I have this ability to forget. Remind me of how blessed I am. Help me to count my blessings and name them one by one, because I tend to forget sometimes the goodness of the Lord in my life. I tend to forget that $100 bill that God gave me through a man 18 years ago that provided bread on my table. I tend to forget. So what I started doing a few years ago is I started writing them down. Went to the hospital and prayed for a man. God raised him up. We prayed for a baby. Pastor Kyle and myself went. Baby had leukemia, 2 years old. A couple weeks later, leukemia free. I have to be reminded. I have to hear it over and over and over again. God healed then. God will heal now. God will heal tomorrow. We need to hear the word of the Lord, because faith comes by hearing. And we need faith, because without it we cannot please God. So the reason you have faith is not to get you what you want, but to get you what He wants for you. We don't serve Santa Claus. We serve the God of creation. And it's His purpose we're after. His will. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The primary reason why we believe that God can do certain things. Just to kind of put another hit on some of the things that I've just stated. The primary reason why I believe that God can do certain things, certain miraculous or supernatural things. Why do you believe? Why do you believe that God can heal the blind? What? Why do you believe that God can heal cancer? And why do you believe that God can cleanse the leper? Why do you believe that? Is it because you've seen it? Not necessarily. I believe it because I heard it. I believe it because somebody preached it. Hello? How do you know the word of God's true? Because I heard it. And faith comes by hearing. And the reason I believe that God created the heaven and the earth, and the reason I believe that God can raise the dead, and the reason I believe that God can cleanse the leper, is because I heard it out of a book. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. If we didn't hear it, we probably wouldn't believe it. Because we live in a world that if you can't show them and give them the evidence, if you can't duplicate it, then they probably won't believe it. Thank you. We've heard things that God has done. We've heard how God blessed the patriarchs and the prophets and the men and women of God of ancient times. We heard how God delivered them, how God provided for them miraculously in the wilderness. These things are recorded for our benefit. And that's why I tell my children stories in the Bible, because I know that if they don't hear, they won't believe. And if they don't believe, they'll probably never see it. And of course, we read Hebrews chapter number 11. That whole chapter is full of testimonies. Thank God for testimonies. Thank God somebody decided to write it down in a book that by faith Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. Amen. And that which opposed them came crumbling down. Thank God it was written as a testimony that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and you can go against any giant with that name. Thank God it was recorded. Thank God for the testimony of some of you. Thank God for telling somebody that God healed me, God delivered me, God raised me up, God cleansed me. How do you know? I don't know by what I see. I know by what He said. Do you see your sins forgiven and remitted and removed? No, I can't see it. Do you see people receive the Holy Ghost? No, I just hear them speak with tongues. The only reason I believe that my sins are remitted is because I heard it out of a book. Somebody say the power of hearing God's voice. Amen. You still there? Why don't you clap your hands a little bit? Praise God. People cannot be saved without hearing the gospel, Sister Dawn. Our loved ones that we pray for, that's good. We should pray for them. But you know what? If they never hear the gospel, they'll never believe. And if they don't believe, they won't call upon Him. And if they don't call upon Him, they will not be saved. It won't happen. How can they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So there are people in our world today that if they do not hear, they will not believe. And if they do not believe in Him, they will not call on Him. And if they don't call upon Him, they will never see His salvation. They'll never see it. So people cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. Hearing is vital to the one who wants to walk with God. I don't think that Enoch ever saw God. I think Enoch was taught about God. And I think that there were moments in Enoch's life where he actually heard God's voice. That's just my personal opinion. He never saw God. There was no theophany. There was no burning bush. There was no angel. The Bible says that by faith Enoch walked with God, and he had a testimony that he pleased God. And this is how you learn to please God. You walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Faith in what? Faith in the invisible God who has an audible voice. And the voice of the Lord is being proclaimed in every service through the preaching. If God didn't speak in the 21st century, the whole world would be lost. Amen. Hearing is so vital. If any man hear my voice, don't harden your heart. There's a response from you that is required once you have heard his voice. Hearing means you attend to. You perceive. Joshua chapter 24 and verses number 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. We can't see him, but we believe his word. We believe that his voice is coming through your lips. We believe, you preacher, that God has spoken to us through you. I wish to God that a generation would rise up that would believe that when the preacher preached, it's God himself using the man of God to talk to us. I'm so glad that every Sunday and every Wednesday, God of glory talks to me and he talks to you. Are you listening? That's why we have to go back and listen to those old CDs, because we want to remember what God said. What was so significant about that night? I want to hear it again. I want to be reminded again of that word of prophecy. Hallelujah. Doesn't the scripture say that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? That's why we got to hear that witness. We got to hear that prophet. We got to hear that man of God. We need that confirmation. We need that affirmation. We need to know that it is indeed God that is speaking to us in this generation, in this time, in this season, that he hasn't forgot us. If Noah hadn't accurately heard and obeyed God's voice, if Noah would have left out the pitch, the clay, the mortar, if he would have built that boat and left out the pitch, you know, he pitched it within and he pitched it without, what would have happened is, in perhaps a few days, or maybe even the same day, that big boat holding all of those animals and even the family of Noah would have begun to take on water, and that boat would have sunk and they would have lost their lives. But thank God for a man of God that found grace in the eyes of God and who learned to pay attention to the voice of God accurately. It was the burning bush that got Moses' attention. But once the Lord got his attention, then he said, I'm going to go check this out. In his heart, he said, I need to go and see what this is all about. This is kind of an unusual thing here. And so as he approached this bush that was on fire but not consumed, not burnt up, as he approached that bush, all of a sudden a voice came from the bush that said, Moses, Moses. And you know the story. He told him it was holy ground, take your sandals off, and so forth. And then the Lord began to share with Moses. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard the moaning and the groaning and the travail, and I see what the Egyptians are doing to my people. And I'm going to send you, Moses, to deliver them and to bring them back to this mountain that they might worship me. Moses never did anything great for God until after he heard the voice. The bush just got his attention, but it was the voice that gave him direction, and it gave him, amen, confidence to go and to do the will. Well, they will not hear me. A voice came again and said, just tell them I am that I am. And he had to rehearse that in his mind, because when he was confronted with a situation that didn't look good, he had to remember the word of the Lord. You think walking by faith is a New Testament thing? No, 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 no. It started a long time ago. Amen. He heard a voice. And that voice gave him direction and gave him confidence. We look to the New Testament, another example. Saul was blinded by a great light. And Saul fell to the ground. It was so bright. It was brighter than the light of the sun. And he physically couldn't take it. And so he went down prostrate before the Lord. And he said, Lord, who art thou? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I don't know what you're doing and where you are, because I'm blind. But all of a sudden, he heard a voice. And the voice said, I am Jesus. He never saw him. He never felt him. But he heard him. And what he heard changed his life. What he heard gave him revelation. Come on, somebody. It's important to hear the voice of God. And to know what he's saying to the church in this hour. Amen. Let's just raise our hands for a moment. Praise God. Come on, raise your hands and just bless the Lord. Come on, just lift your voice a moment. Praise God. Just pretend it's Thursday night and we're in the prayer meeting. Amen. I know I'm kind of low-key tonight, but the Word is the Word. The Word is alive. Amen. It'll do something to you if you let it. Hallelujah. It will strengthen you if you will let it. It will give you confidence if you let it. Amen. It'll give you faith if you let it. Hallelujah. Abraham, he left his home. He left his heritage. He left some relatives. And he didn't even know where he was going. According to the scripture, he left and he did not know where he was going. Didn't know the destination. He didn't even know how to get there. Didn't know how to get there. How many's ever said that? I don't know how we're going to get there. I see the goal. I see the dream. I see where we want to be and where we need to be, but I don't know how we're going to get there. Well, Abraham was in the same predicament. He left everything, his home, his heritage, his family. He left everything that he's always known, and he went out to walk with God and to serve the Lord and to do his will. He didn't know where he was going, and he didn't know how he was going to get there. He had no blueprint. All he had was a voice. He went not by what he saw, but he went by what he said. Oh my God, have mercy. And he started walking according to the calling and the word of the Lord that was spoken into his life. Elijah was there. He was intimidated by Jezebel, afraid for his life. And there he is in that cave, and all of a sudden there's fire, there's a wind, and there's an earthquake, and nothing happened. Nothing changed. Because he said, the Lord wasn't in the wind, and the Lord wasn't in the fire, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. But then he said, but there was a still, small voice. Can't see God. Can't feel God. Can't figure God out. I can't read the signs of the times. I don't know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I don't know why I'm in this stupid cave. I don't know why Jezebel's so mad at me. I don't know why they want to kill me. I don't know why all the people of God are backslid. But I know one thing. I heard the voice of God. And there was no sign given to Elijah. The only thing that got him out of that cave, out of that dark, cold, bat-infested cave, was a voice. The voice of the Lord said, "Get up, boy. It's time for you to go and finish doing what I've called you to do. I've got some business for you to take care of. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if this is going to be my last rodeo, but I'm going because I heard a voice." The power of hearing the voice of God. It was Elijah that said to Ahab, "Get thee up and drink, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." Can't see anything, can't feel anything, but I hear something. I hear something in the spirit realm, because it always takes place in the spirit realm before it does in the natural or in the realm that you and I can see. And this prophet, he heard something in the spirit. He heard that rain was coming. And when he heard that, he proclaimed it. He spoke it. He said, "There's a sound. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. Ahab, get up and eat, boy. Let's go to the mountain." And so he went up and he fell to his knees. And he started talking to the Lord. And that's what we should do. Huh? Somebody say, pray until something happens. Pray until the prophetic word becomes a reality. Pray until that word that was spoken becomes material. Until it becomes realized. Pray until something happens. And so he went up. He came back 5 times. Nope, sorry, don't see nothing. 6 times. Nope, sorry, don't see nothing. Must be a false prophet. Must have missed it. He's still on his knees. Go back up there. Don't stop going. He never told him to stop, did he? He says, "You keep going to that mountain and you keep looking over the horizon and over that ocean until you see that rain." And on the 7th time, he went back up there and he come running back. He said, "Oh, prophet, guess what? I see a cloud. It's like a man's hand. It's rising up over that sea." And he said, "Okay, boys, get ready. The rain's coming." Never saw nothing. He heard something. And what he heard become visible. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, we got to learn to discern the voice of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together one more time. My Lord. It was spiritual hearing. Whew. The disciples, and I'm getting ready to close here. Thank you, Jesus. The disciples were in the midst of a turbulent sea. Remember the story? I think it happened more than once. So the Lord sends them ahead. "I'll be there after a while, guys. I'll catch up with you. You go on ahead." He went up to pray while they got on the boat and sailed, or the ship. The Bible says it was a ship. And so here we see the disciples there in the middle of this turbulent sea, crashing waves, strong winds. And then suddenly, I think it was the 4th watch of the night, they saw what they thought was a spirit, and they were afraid. Isn't that what the Bible said? If you read it, it says, they thought it was a spirit. It was undistinguishable. They couldn't make out what that figure was on the water. They knew one thing, it wasn't supposed to be there. And they thought it was a spirit, and they got frightened. It was bad enough in the middle of those strong waves crashing into the ship and that strong wind. It was bad enough. But now all of a sudden they see some figurine that looks like he's either hovering or just walking on the water. And it blew their mind. Maybe they began to feel a little delirious and disoriented and maybe a little seasick. You know, you start seeing things when you get sick. But they saw something and they couldn't figure out what it was. And then they heard a voice from what they called a spirit. And the voice that came from that individual said this: "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He didn't say, "Hey guys, it's me, Jesus." There is no mention of his name, none whatsoever. He just said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He wanted to know if they recognize his voice or not. I know you can't make it out right now. I know I appear as a spirit, but I want to know, do you recognize my voice? And then Peter spoke up the very next verse. Peter answered him, didn't know who he was. Still didn't know who he was. But Peter said this. Let me read his words. He said, "Lord, if it be thou," not quite sure. It's kind of hazy out there. It's cloudy. Wind's blowing. Water thrashing back and to. Can't quite make out this image that I see. But the voice sounds familiar. And he says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And the voice spoke back and said, "Come." That's all it took. One word from Jesus Christ. Oh my God. He couldn't see him. He couldn't make him out. He thought it was a spirit. But when he heard that one word in response to his petition, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." I want you to watch what happened. Watch what happened. This is what the Bible says. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship," it was a big ship. Now you don't just, no. Now we're not talking about no kayak or no canoe or no bass boat. No. In the ocean? In the sea? No. It was a ship. A big boat. Maybe like a yacht or something. You know those 150-foot yachts they're building for us over there at the marina? Oh, you haven't rode in it yet? Okay. So anyway, he climbs down. This is what it says. Are you ready? Pay attention, because if you don't, you'll miss it. "After he climbed down out of the ship," the Bible says, "he walked on the water." Remember when you stood up a while ago? It didn't say he stood on the water. He came off the boat walking. Dun, 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 dun. He came off that boat. I would say running, but he came off walking. He didn't stand still and make sure everything was okay. No, when he got off the ship, he started walking towards Jesus, because he said, "If it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water." I want to come to you.
I know that there's water and there's a storm and there's waves and there's wind between us, but it's you. I want to go to you. And Jesus said, come on. And he made his way out of that boat and he started walking towards Jesus. He knew where Jesus was all the time. He knew where he was all the time. I don't think he ever took his eyes off of him. Contrary to popular belief. I've been saying for years. I even prayed about it yesterday. And this is when the Lord gave me this little revelation. Oh Lord, I don't want to take my eyes off you. And I can't even see him. But I always thought Jesus took his eyes off Jesus. Or Peter took his eyes off Jesus. That's what I thought until I read the Bible. You know, you'll discover a lot of good stuff if you start reading the Bible. And start listening when the preacher's preaching. You might understand the Bible even more. All right? So here we go. He's walking and he's coming to Jesus. Everybody say he's walking. He's not skipping. He's not hopping. He's not dog paddling. He's walking. Waves are there. Wind's blowing. But he's still walking toward Jesus. Hear me. If you stay, okay, you can just sit right there, Brother Walcott. Let's just say maybe, I don't know, 60 feet. Maybe 60 feet, give or take, in between us. I'm coming off the boat, and I'm walking toward you. And I'm walking toward you because I can see you. I'm walking toward you because I can see you now with my natural eyes. And guess what? I not only see you, but I see all the chairs that are beside you. I see Sister Bishop. I see Brother Vieira. I see a lot of people over here. I can't make them out. I see some people over here. I see that back wall, my peripheral vision. I can see what's over here and what's over there. I don't think he ever took his eyes off Jesus. We say, oh, he sunk because he took his eyes off Jesus. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I don't think he ever took his eyes off Jesus. I believe that the whole time he was walking, he was looking at Jesus. I'm coming. You know, kind of like, you know, when your son or your daughter takes their first few steps. Huh? They're not looking at their feet. They're looking at you. Right? Or that they're looking at that little cookie or that French fry you got in your hand. Huh? And so they're walking towards us. And Peter was walking towards Jesus. But then the next Bible verse says this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. You can be looking at Jesus and still see the storm. You can be looking at Jesus and still see the trouble. You can be looking at Jesus and still be in debt. You can be looking at Jesus and be in the darkest trial of your life and never lose focus of Jesus. It wasn't a matter of losing his focus. He started yielding to the natural man because the natural man leans to reason and logic and human emotion. And when he saw not just Jesus, but he saw all that stuff behind him. He saw all the wind and the waves and the storm. And when he saw that, in other words, when he discerned that, when he perceived that, in other words, when he came to his sense. Because you got to be crazy to climb out of a boat and start trying to walk upon water. You got to be crazy. Hello? Now I'm talking about the natural man. I mean, we don't just say, okay, I'm going to just jump into a den of lions, or yes, throw me in the fire. Are you dumb? You've got to be crazy. Lions? No way, Jose. No way. I'm not doing that. I probably wouldn't have stepped out of that boat, but he did, and thank God he did. But the point I'm trying to make is you can never lose sight of Jesus. Or even in the midst of focusing on Jesus, loving Jesus, praying to Jesus, talking to Jesus, you can still lose your footing when you yield to the natural man and you yield to logic. You yield to what you see in the flesh. And that is what happened. He started leaning to his understanding. and he stopped walking according to what he said. If God said something, he's got the power to bring it to pass. And he needs you and I not only to pay attention, but to be obedient to what he's already spoken to us. Troubles are going to come. There may be an economic crisis. There may be trouble. There may be world war. There may be famine. There may be pestilence. There may be earthquakes in various places. There may be all kind of troubles that come upon this earth and that come to your house. The key is this. The key is this. Stay focused on what he said and not what you see. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Come on, let's raise our hands to the Lord together. Come on, let's raise our hands to the Lord and our voices. The Lord has spoke to me in prayer, and he is reminding me, boy, don't worry about what you see. Focus on what I said. I said I'll never leave you. I said I'll be with you. I said I'll give you power over the enemy. I said I'll provide for every need. Oh, somebody focus. Somebody remember. Somebody rehearse what God has said. And stop walking. Stop making decisions based on what you see and what you think. And get back in prayer and get reminded of what he said. For man shall not live by bread alone. You can see bread. You can taste bread. You can feel bread. You can cook bread. You can give bread away. But he said you can't live that kind of, or the kind of life I want you to live, by the tangible, by the natural, by what you see and what you feel. But you must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's not only what God has said, it's what is God saying now. What's proceeding out of his mouth today in your life, in your situation, in your storm, in your crises? It might look dry. It might look famished. You might feel destitute. But that's not really the way things are. The way things really are is according to what he said. And that's why we're praying his will be done on earth as it is. Come on, lift your voices and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm holding on to a word from God. I'm holding on to a promise from God. God said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I'm just reminding you that God's still in charge. And if he's begun a good work in you, he will finish it. He will finish. He's the Omega. Come on, just praise him for a few moments for the word of the Lord. Come on, everybody join in. Just wave your hands, clap your hands, open your mouth and praise and thank God. Amen. And rehearse and reminisce and remember the word of the Lord.